Right then. So, no cringe intro from you today, Adam.
Are they cringe?
Yeah, some of them.
I think they're engaging.
They can
but
be
no, I look at our retention graph in YouTube, and yeah, I could work on my intros, is all I will say on that front.
Yeah, true, yeah. Right then. Said I didn't have much of an official intro. we're going to talk about something that, despite our laughter, is actually very important and very disconcerting. I think a lot of people will have, if they're watching this video, a lot of people will have watched our Saudi Arabia video because it was our biggest one, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's by probably twice the amount of views of other ones, yeah.
Standard. Yeah, so, I guess this is second edition of esports sports washing, or esports washing, I guess you should say.
Which is ironic because, esports players don't... Well, if you go to a LAN, you'll realise there's not a lot of washing that goes on in esports, actually. You know, like, if you've been to a LAN, like, I saw the other day, like, Fnatic...
Where, gets hot.
For Fnatic's 18-year anniversary, they're giving away, like, some Nivea gift sets where you get, like, moisturiser and deodorant and stuff. I was like, this should be giving them away at events, mate, not just for the 18th birthday. Like, we could all benefit from that. My nose would appreciate it very much.
Yeah, that's a hidden business opportunity. Get Lynx and Nivea and Unilever to set up stalls at Epic LAN and Insomnia.
I'd pay for other people. You know what I mean? They don't have to buy it themselves, mate. I don't know if they've got the self-awareness for that, but it's a madness, a LAN event. Madness.
Gets hot in those rooms.
Mm, but anyway, I don't even know how I got into that. I apologise.
Yeah.
esports washing.
So second edition of esports washing. I think. I mean, we could probably find more editions of it, I reckon, if we dug far enough. But anyway, this is, I guess, second edition at least of Middle Eastern country with questionable ethics record that is involved in some shady shit. I mean, obviously, the last episode was on Saudi. UAE have, at least with the Yemeni civil war, are like very closely aligned with Saudi, like they back Saudi Arabia. I don't really want to get into the foreign policy of it all, like at all, because it's confusing and that's not where our expertise lie. But I mean, I guess just to give a super quick background on UAE. So in Yemen, UAE backed forces partook in torture / making people disappear. Like
magic.
I said, they back, just like Magia. And like I said, they back the Saudis, who I think the Saudis have been like roundly condemned for Yemen, at least in a lot of quarters. Again, though, don't want to get too deep into the foreign policy because you'll find, like, when you look into it, the Saudi Arabian regime and the whole complicated civil war in Yemen is like, you'll find that the Saudi side are often fighting against like Islamists and like extremists, like actual, you know, real terrorist type. So it's like they're fighting them. So I guess some people in some roundabout way could say, well, hang on, aren't they doing a good thing? It's like, no, there have been some.
Also bombing kids and that.
Exactly. Yeah. There have been, that's what I was going to say. So there have been like crazy atrocities all throughout that war, which the UAE, I have to take like a lot of responsibility for. But anyway, with that, little bit of background, and I'm sure we'll get into more. So the news as of when, Adam? It was like a month ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, June 30th it was announced, and there wasn't enough press coverage. ESI and the typical folks in Venn Global and stuff covered it, but there wasn't really much uproar about it, which is probably, as we'll get to, like my main point or something to look at.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it was about a month ago now, yeah.
I read Richard Lewis's piece, which we can link in the description box because it's really...
I will remember to do that this time.
It's really good. And he basically just explains all the kind of hypocrisy, pulls some key quotes from the Blast guys. So Blast have partnered with AD Gaming?
Abu Dhabi Gaming, AD
Abu
Gaming,
Dhabi
yeah.
Gaming, yeah. It's Blast Premier, isn't it? I know it's obviously Counter-Strike.
It is, yeah, it's Blast Premier. So it's for like the global finals, I believe,
right,
that wrap up this year's circuit.
Yeah. So they partnered with them for how long? 3 years?
It's a 3-year deal, but they haven't announced what goes on beyond like this one tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
Or what it actually entails, whether there's any financial things involved, or if it's like, yeah, well, you can use this center for free to host to host this event, or we are paying you to host an event here. Like, none of that's been detailed. So realistically, they called it a landmark 3-year partnership, and like that's all we have to go on besides the fact they're going to host this event.
Landmine 3-year partnership.
Yeah, landmine one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fucking hell. So yeah, but that's the thing. It's hard to judge it when you don't know exactly what's what. And I think it's been left quite vague on purpose. Because if they detail their master plan entirely, then it's easier to figure out what's what, right? But we know the next event's going to be in Abu Dhabi. Yeah, where like I think FaZe Clan's one of the only locks for that at the moment, and they've just been competing in Saudi anyway. So I mean.
Yes, well,
FaZe obviously don't care. And they've obviously just gone public as well. Yes, so like they'll take money wherever they can.
Yes, exactly what I was just going to say, mate. Now that
up public, here, up here there will be a little card clicky thing. I don't know what they're called, but I know how to do them now. So
oh, the little pop-up with the information.
You can watch our FaZe video from earlier this week. Last week.
Which was a good
YouTubers.
One, if I may add.
I think it's gone down pretty well, mate, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I like it. I think it's pretty good. So AD Gaming have partnered with Blast, and it's another version of the same old sports washing, which you're seeing, like I said, you're seeing it in our Saudi video, you're seeing it in esports, of course, but you're also seeing it a lot more in like traditional sports. I think I mentioned golf last time, but that's like ramped up even more, which I believe is, so that LIV or Leave, however you say that. That's a brand new golf tournament I don't really know golf, but I believe it's it's taking place at the same time as another like major golf tournament, which takes up a big chunk of the calendar. So it's like you either do one or the other. And loads of top golfers have been paid, like literally some of them hundreds of millions to take part in the LIV Saudi backed one. Again, mate, these regimes are ramping up,
and to be clear, even on AD Gaming's website, it literally verbatim says AD Gaming is a government-led initiative. So amasses broad efforts throughout Abu Dhabi to transform the emirate into a global gaming hub. So it's literally Abu Dhabi itself that is bankrolling all of this. We don't know how much they're investing, but I know there's already a history with like AD Gaming and esports when they got when the deal between Team Nigma, worst name ever still, and Galaxy Racer, they obviously, there was the acquisition / merger there, and now it's Nigma Galaxy. They're based in Abu Dhabi. I think they're being paid by AD Gaming to house themselves there.
Interesting.
And partnered with like Emirates Airlines as well, I think. But yeah, so they already had like some involvement outside of the local esports scene, I suppose, that we necessarily wouldn't see. I don't think we'd see that, but on like an international scale, obviously big Dota team. They've already got the involvement there, and this is just like the next big push. One thing I feel the need to say is, of course, like this all became a really huge worry in the esports industry in 2018 when obviously Blast and LEC partnered with Neon, which is Saudi, ground that is not theirs. They're building that futuristic city, and everyone at the time, including broadcast staff at the LEC and such, said like we're not gonna stand for this. Obviously, last time we spoke about this, I got called a sexist and misogynist, and I was targeting people. That was not the aim by any means, but like certain people spoke out against it, like large individual, influential people. I can't speak today; it's been a long one, and it's only midday. Speaking out against it, and that was enough to kind of reverse these sponsorships. Now it's at the point where this ownership coming in with the Saudi stuff, you think like, okay, well, we can't reverse ownership. That makes sense in a sense. Like you can fight it as much as you want. It's not going to fucking change anything. MTG sold them off. But with this, again, it's just a partnership. But the thing is, so there was the backlash where Blast and Riot Games had to cancel this Neon sponsorship. Okay, so we can't take Middle Eastern money. That's the precedent that was set at that point. And then ESL and DreamHack and FaceIt are bought by Saudi.
Yeah.
No one really fights against it. There's some tweets by the usual people you'd expect. Me, Richard Lewis, Thorin, some of the more outspoken people who are willing to speak out about it as much. But like players, most organisations don't give a fuck. Like Team Liquid like had their whole pride thing like where they said they wouldn't compete in Texas or something because of some laws or maybe the abortion right stuff. I can't remember. Right. I think there was some pride-related thing where they were like, oh, we care about people. And it's like, nah, but you're a partner team with ESL, getting money directly from ESL.
Yeah.
Which is now Saudi. So, like, no matter what you say, your actions mean something completely different. And the ownership aspect of that means ESL now, the main competitor of Blast, because if you think about it, the CSGO calendar is effectively the majors, which is typically ESL and one of the company anyway, and Blast. That's it. So now Blast, apparently, based on the Neon stuff, they're like, oh, well, we can't take the money of the states from the Middle East. Obviously, it's blood money. People are against it. ESL comes in, gets bought out. They get billions behind them now. Who knows how much? Indescribable amounts of funding behind them where they don't matter if they lose money year on year now. They can just flood the fucking scene. They get that with minimal backlash. So then it seems like, one, like Blast can do this kind of deal and it's not really going to matter. Like teams are still going to compete. People are still going to tune in and watch because at the end of the day, they care about the gameplay, not the people behind it in terms of the organizers and stuff. But then also, like Blast are losing money like basically every other esports company. What else are they going to fucking do? If AD Gaming hypothetically comes and says like, we'll pay you to come compete in Abu Dhabi for over a 3-year basis and we know like it could be a lot of money, like you've basically got no other option, and you think like, oh, you know what, people aren't going to really care anyway. There might be a few outraged tweets and I'll get ragged on by Thorin on a consistent basis and that's literally about it, so fuck it, let's go for it. So I kind of think in a sense the ESL deal kind of forced Blast's hand into this. I don't there's not much venture capital floating about in esports right now, so what's the alternative if they're running out of dosh? You know, maybe they have to sell their souls a little bit or else they don't exist. That's like the main point I wanted to bring up, really. I was thinking about that a lot since this has been announced.
Yeah. No, really good point. Really good point. And I also think, you know, on a certain level, it's also pretty like simple in terms of if this is our industry, if esports is our industry. And like with the Siege event, the major that was meant to be held in, where was that?
UAE as well.
Yeah, UAE. So that was going to be held there, but then there were a load of LGBT casters and talent around the event. So they, I think, spoke out. A petition was released. Loads of people signed it. I think like 13,000 or more signed it. And then they decided not to have the event there, which I think is now in Berlin.
That's a rare W. Like,
yeah.
Where was that energy ESL, which hosts tournaments across basically every game.
Yeah.
You know, like it really takes like, it's almost as if like the big, because casters are more than just casters. They're like influencers for the games themselves. Like they're figureheads right at the top. It's almost as if like they have to lead the charge unanimously. And then it's like, okay, we care what they think. Let's do it. But like, that hasn't happened with ESL. The organizations didn't really come out and speak against it, whereas they did with the Neon stuff, obviously, back in the day. Like, even Carlos and stuff speaking publicly about it. But, like, that hasn't happened at all with the ESL DreamHack and Face It, and now with the Blast thing as well. I guarantee we'll see basically all of the same talent at this Blast event, you know?
Well, yeah.
So I think it must be, like, it has to be, like, a coordinated effort across the board from, like, the biggest people in that game.
Yeah,
and, because... it's just not happening like that, is it, elsewhere?
Yeah, because ultimately when you boil it down, it's like, if you're a gay person or if you're a trans person or whatever, are you welcome in those countries? I think it's honestly, you can break it down as much as you want, you can do as much analysis as you want. I think there, in certain countries, in UAE and Saudi Arabia, to use two, but especially UAE, that's the purpose of this video, they're... values and practices just aren't aligned with ours on things like that. So we just shouldn't have any tournament over there until that changes. Now, like you said, that's not going to happen, unfortunately, in the real world, because especially we're about to enter a really rough period for like the global economy, not just certain countries. these esports tournament operators that were already struggling to earn money are always going to fucking take it. Just like we see in traditional sports, like the prize is too great, so you're always going to say yes. But until kind of the values and practices of those countries more closely resembles ours in terms of like gay rights and just general stuff, like it's not even just gay rights, there's all sorts of stuff. A guy, I suppose this is still related to the gay rights issue, but Scottish guy that accidentally, he was like stumbling and put his hand on somebody's waist by accident and got locked up for 3 years. It's like, what? It's just fucked. Mm-hmm. And like, that's where we're choosing to host tournaments and presumably have fans fly over, at least have casters and stuff fly over. So how do you square that? It's just, you know, until that changes, there really shouldn't be tournaments over there. There shouldn't.
It doesn't make sense, doesn't it? And in a sense, do you think it almost forces people into staying quote-unquote closeted, if like they feel like, okay, if I need to compete and we're going to be in Saudi and Abu Dhabi a lot and stuff, I can't come out as a public gay person or a trans person or whatever it may be, you know, anything that's discriminated against by these countries. And look, I don't think our country is perfect, and America's certainly not perfect either, so I don't want to just say like they should just be perfectly like us, but I also think like if they were welcoming of people, no matter who those people choose to be, at that point is like, okay, that's like,
our country
and killing journalists and all that shit as well, like there's more to go on than just like discrimination, isn't there?
Our country and the US and other parts of Europe obviously aren't perfect and have their own like racism problems and issues with, like you said, abortion and gay rights and stuff, like obviously, but you compare, it's night and day when you compare here as in the Western Hemisphere, Western countries, versus countries like the UAE. I mean, it's night and day. I don't care what anyone says. Like, obviously, our country is not perfect, but Jesus Christ, it is 1 million times better than there. In those ways.
I think partnering with like literally the state or the government itself, getting into business with them. I don't care whether you say this is the case or not when you announce it in your press release, but like you are effectively saying I'm okay with what they stand for. I don't mind how they run and how they conduct themselves.
Yeah.
And they're people I won't mind getting into like figurative bed with. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way around it, whether you say like this is strictly because we're trying to be a global organization and, you know, we've hosted events over here for so long and never over there, so we want to spread the love, and you know, there's so many gamers over there. So it only makes sense to bring it to them as well. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, sure, you can have that reasoning, but realistically what you're saying is like you are fine with the way they go about things, and fundamentally I'm not. So
and like you said, attitudes and beliefs are one thing, but it doesn't matter if your actions are, you're gonna go and have tournaments in these places and make your talent and fans feel unsafe and not want to go. It really is as simple as they're just following the money. Can I read you the funny quote from the managing director of Blast?
I would love nothing more. It's Blast Premier, the managing director, by the way. I just want to say, not Blast overall.
Okay.
It's an important distinction, but like, I'm borderline obsessive.
It's all right. Don't worry. Right, okay, here we go. So Charlotte Kenny, managing director of Blast Premier, who I'm sure is fine, but this is a funny quote. As part of our host cities process, we are always on the lookout for leading locations and arenas all around the world. Abu Dhabi, after a comma, which should be a full stop, Abu Dhabi is the perfect location to follow on from this month's highly successful spring final in Lisbon and November's fall final in Copenhagen. So apparently the perfect jumping off point from Lisbon and Copenhagen, two of the most like fucking Central European, as in like culturally, like two of the most European cities there are. Apparently the perfect next step from there is Abu Dhabi, which is probably like 5,000 miles away.
And if your values are making money, then...
Exactly. Well, this is the thing. It's like, well, okay, so it's not perfect in that sense, but maybe it's perfect in an ethical sense. Is that what she means?
It's just PR spiel, isn't it?
Yeah, it's bullshit. It's
nothingness. It's nothingness at best and foolish at at worst, I suppose.
Yeah, so thought that was funny. It's a good quote.
It's a good quote. And then there was like a secondary quote as well, and I wish I could remember it, and it's going to take too long to find it. But let me try and find it quickly, actually, because I think it's of worth, if not for comedic value alone.
Are you on about the cost-effective solution quote?
It could well be that. That sounds about right. Like, yeah, what does that exactly mean?
I know. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, if you got it.
Currently, we are on the lookout for whichever country either represents a cost-effective solution to running an event or, even better, foot the bill entirely. Wait, hold on. Let me just make sure I'm reading the right thing. Oh, fucking hell. I'm such a fucking idiot.
I don't think they'd say that.
No. So this is... hold on. So that was Richard Lewis's translation.
Oh, yeah. Because he did like his version of it, or like an honest version
of it. Yeah, an honest version of it. Oh, that's brilliant.
I was going to say, they're very upfront about that. Shit. We don't mind killing people. They're like, fuck the gays. Like, none of it matters.
Yeah.
Now let's have some good CS.
Shout out Richard Lewis. He's always coming with the fire.
Yeah. He definitely put it on a lot of people's radars. But again, like, after probably two days of that article circulating, it'll die off and just be like, another piece that he should print out and put on his wall because it's an absolute banger. Like that, like people aren't going to follow through with any of it or like really do anything with that information.
No, apart from fucking dickhead and dickhead talking about it on Cyber Athletics. Which, there you go.
But well, no doubt they'll sell out. That's double entendre there. Yeah. But no doubt they'll sell out the arena as I've sold out their values and ethics once again. And it'll be seen as a grand success, but like, and as part of a 3-year partnership, you'd have to assume that they're going to continue working together over the next 2 years after that. And the fact is, if one event's the whole activation in one of those years of your 3-year partnership, that doesn't seem like a very effective partnership to me. So maybe there's going to be more extensive things throughout that.
There'll be promotion in there, surely. You're an ambassador for UAE gaming type thing.
Fucking hell. Yeah, or if it's like they host qualifiers over there to try and find like talent that's not quite made it across in the West and all those kind of things, you know, for like the next circuit, or if they give them a couple of spots in the circuit overall. Like, there has to be more to it, I think, after this first year. Because like one event alone to me, I don't know, it doesn't sound enough. Though obviously it will seemingly have a sizable impact. And just like Blast's legitimacy and reputation as being like one of the best tournament organized in the industry alone is a very valuable get for Abu Dhabi Gaming and the government that runs it.
Yeah, for sure. If you're going to go for anybody in esports, then that's a good bet, I reckon.
So my overall thought on this now is I've reached beyond being annoyed, caring. It's just with ESL, Face It Group, the acquisition from Savvy Gaming Group, public investment fund, Saudi Arabia government, follow the trail. And then with this now, Blast, AD, no one really giving a shit. Like, we're just accepting it now. Like, I see the Rainbow Six boycott as a one-off or a rarity or like an exception to the rule. Now at this point, I just think like no one actually gives a fuck. Like no one in the decision-making process, at least, or someone who can make changes. You know what I mean? No one, like, barely any people have left ESL since this whole thing went down. There's one person who watched our episode on the Saudi thing and actually left ESL because they realized they felt awful about it and it wasn't according to their standards. That's a good endorsement of what we did there to speak out against it. But, like, that's one person, you know, like, and however many hundreds of people are working there now and however many more are going to work there because, like, they can seemingly poach anyone from any company if they just offer them double what the fuck they're getting. Like, that money doesn't matter to them, does it, realistically? And most companies are pinching pockets. Yeah. Saudis don't have to do that. So I say all this to say, like, I think, like, esports is just gone now. Like, people wanted it to be a traditional sport, and you've got that, not in the best of ways, but now, it can be akin to football and F1 and all those wonderful sports that are fine taking this money and hosting events in Qatar and basically co-signing the actions of these places that I think are deplorable in many ways in terms of how they treat people, you know. So I think esports is gone, and like, frankly, whenever my time at Hitmarker is up, could be 10 years from now, could be I don't know, a year and a year from now, whenever, I don't have a clue. Can't see into the future, but like, I'm gone from esports then. Like, this is firmly my last esports job. Like, I it doesn't really make sense to me now for me to stay. Like, I'm at the conclusion where it's like, it's fucked.
It's a big moment. Adam Fitch is announcing his retirement from esports. It's a big.
Oh, don't, because like, big deal. Richard said he was like winding down and stuff, and obviously Dom wrote that article, and everyone was like, oh, he's gone now. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, I'm not going to get any press from me saying that, but like, no, I'm not done yet. But like, I'm just saying, like, whenever I hit market, inevitably fuck me off for being a loudmouth, annoying prick. It could be like 5 years until they realise that and have enough. But like,
but maybe they should have known that before they hired you, to be fair.
They did. They've known me like 4 years, so it's mad that I got hired despite that. Yeah, whenever I'm done at Hitmark, which hopefully in a long time, not anytime soon, then you know, like I'm not gonna be looking for jobs in this industry still.
No, I hear that, mate.
I'll go work in F1 for Mercedes.
Yeah. I feel you, mate.
That is also a joke, since they are also Saudi owned, like, well, partially Saudi owned. Work for Nintendo. They're 5% owned by the exact same fund. Oh, fuck. Like, yeah. There's not many places to go anymore in entertainment. I'll just go work. I'll be a sandwich artist at Subway, and I'll enjoy every second.
It's sad. I think that's the... there's just going to be blood money. I mean, questionable money wherever you look, isn't there? Just is, because money attracts.
Yeah, and did Richard make the point that all of the organisations and tournament organisers boycotted Russia, but not Saudi?
I don't know if he made that point. In the article, or just generally?
In the article, I think he did. If not, then I'm a fucking genius. I've heard it somewhere, but like, it's a very good point. It's like, so we're fine saying like Russia like has no place, you know, like owning organizations like Virtus.pro and Gambit. Players can compete because it's this whole invasion is not down to them, but they have to do it under a neutral brand and they can't rep like Russia in any way. That's fine, but like, oh, the Saudis killing gays, bombing children, and taking away rainbow coloured toys to crack down on homosexuality. Yeah, they're completely fine, mate. But now, if you go after Ukraine, that's the one place we can't forgive. Like, there's obviously a huge double standard there.
Yeah, so, is. You
know, like, we just pick and choose the battles, and it feels like we pick the ones that are not going to affect our bottom line too much, effectively. Yeah.
I think you're getting nihilistic about it all and just like, what's the point? This is just how it is right now. But, it is true. I agree with you. But people, you know, you're known as the guy that holds people like that accountable. So it's like, it's a very valuable position to hold.
It's a worry when I don't care about doing that anymore. Because I could be much more vocal online and like I used to be. But now I'm just like, no matter what I say, no matter what any of us do besides those key people at the top of these companies, like, it don't matter what any of us think and say, basically, unless we're all going to mobilize, and we're proven at this point, like, the esports fans don't really give a fucking shit. Like, yeah, I think, like, obviously with like the Gamers 8 event, I know we need to wrap up shortly, but like the Gamers 8 event, Saudi event going on right now, FaZe Clan just won the Rocket League tournament, I believe. They're giving away $15 million over 8 weeks, if I remember correctly. Moist Esports, their Rocket League team, said they were not going to attend because they don't fuck with like the Saudi way of living, effectively, if I remember correctly. And that was it. Everyone else just went, like FaZe went and other teams. So like, besides the select few, because I'm looking here, there's Fortnite, Rainbow Six, PUBG, Mobile, Rocket League, and the Riyadh. I don't know how to pronounce it, but the capital city, Masters, which I don't know, but that's already been and gone. But like, so yeah, there's other weeks coming along and more teams to compete, and it'd be interesting to see the organisations that go, because I don't think any are actually boycotted it publicly. Besides, as I say, like the players of Moist Esports, for fuck's sake, Moist Esports of all teams. Moist.
Best name or worst name in esports.
Yeah, man. So probably I'm quite nihilistic, but like, I truly believe like we're past the point now where anything can fucking happen. Like, before anything can change, it's not going to get better from here.
No. I agree. I come at it, or I land at the realpolitik type standpoint of that's just what it's going to be. Like, it's hard. Like, yeah, it's being idealistic and hoping it's, but like, what is actually going to happen? And I agree. I always land at the position of like, no one's going to stop this money. Like, if Blast said no, they would have just gone to fucking, well, the Saudi Arabia beat beat them to ESL, but they would have gone somewhere else. Like, they would have found somewhere else to put the money.
I'm surprised.
Or they would have increased the offer, and Blast would have said, oh, fucking, I'll go on then.
If you give them an offer, they can't refuse, mate. Like, that's that. And that doesn't have to be that much, like, eye-watering money for companies in esports. You know, I'm surprised Blast isn't under ownership of Savvy Gaming Group as well.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, then they'd have the full monopoly on CSGO besides, like, the Academy stuff, which WePlay runs. And, like, the occasional major, which may go to, like, PGL, but they've had bloody two in a row now, so they're out of it for a while.
Mm.
There's rumours of Perfect World, like a Chinese organiser coming for the one after Rio, I believe. But, like,
interesting.
Outside of that, they could fully corner the CSGO market. And obviously, Blast have been in FIFA, Apex Legends, Fortnite, and Valorant, I think, as well now. And ESL's basically across, like, every title in some way. DreamHack. I'm not going to comment on them. Part of a piece of shit brand, face it, whatever. But, like, yeah, I just feel like now it's like, but nothing's going to change, mate. I just expect more of it. We can just try to
like, keep people aware, spread awareness as much as we possibly can. Because, like, you're never going to stop dodgy money from being anywhere. Dodgy money's always existed. So, like, what can you do as just a standard, like, employee or a standard journalist, or I mean, we're both fake journalists these days, but
I don't really claim to be one anymore.
No, I'm a talent manager. Fucking hell, that's literally my full time role now, so I'm definitely not a journalist. I guess just milking it
for views, mate. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
So we can get this non monetizable content to the moon.
Yeah,
for our own gain.
Yeah, you know,
like next week we come on next episode. It's like, hi guys, Cyber Athletics sponsored by Gamers 8, Savvy Gaming Group, ESL Face It Group, AD Gaming, like MSB. Is it MSB or MBS? I never get it right.
We're building our, I have no idea. I don't even know what that is.
MBS.
We're building our brand.
Bin Salman Al Saad. The de facto leader. MBS, there we go. Sorry. It just sounds like some sort of bowel syndrome, doesn't it?
That's what I thought. You MBS, what I've got, or is it MSB?
Yeah, sorry about that. I always forget it for some reason. He's naming it very memorable for me. But so I guess we say all this to say, like, look, we're not going to make any difference in this, but we can keep people aware of what's
You'll make a little difference, like you said with the ESL employee that left after watching that video. Like, you can make a difference, and you can increase awareness so that maybe when something else comes up, where there's like a vote on something, maybe people vote the right way because they're aware, like, despite this dodgy money, there are still little things that we can do within its framework to kind of ease the pain or just make things a little bit more ethical wherever possible. Like, as long as you're aware, so that when something comes up, you know, I don't know. Like you said, can you change the actual funding itself? Nah, unfortunately not. Like, well, I mean, never say never, but there's always going to be a company that says yes to it, so it's hard to know. So, like, what can you do in the meantime?
They get such an advantage, such a boon from that. If you get billions behind you, it's hard to compete. So you need billions of your own somehow, and there's only so many places you can get that, right?
Mm. Yeah.
But hey, is that everything we've got on this?
Yeah, I think so. So yeah, in conclusion, episode. Blast has been defiled with dodgy money also.
It's their second time doing it, so we knew they weren't against it anyway. And
yeah,
come out of a pandemic where you could barely host events and where your competitors just been supercharged with literally untold money.
My conclusion would be, as long as, let's say, we get 250 views on this, 250 more people know about this and are educated on it than before. Not that we're the fucking, like, you know, the intellectuals of esports, the educators. But if more people, if you increase your awareness, I suppose that's a good thing. That's what I'm going to say to myself.
At least know that you're enjoying dirty money when you're spending it. You know what I mean? Like, at least you know, like, this right here, it's not great, but it's like, filthy, look, I've got my new Jordans. So, you know what I mean? I've got a new Dyson and, like, and it's cordless. So, like, realistically, you fucking wins here, mate. Have you got, since you did the intro, I'll let you do the outro as well.
Oh my
that's
god,
that's rare, isn't it? Have you got anything good, any sage advice?
I've really not. I guess.
I've got no advice.
Are there any big esports? Are there any big esports events on soon? I can't be asked googling.
Champs is coming up, I think. Called Champs.
Yeah, Champs. Is that this weekend? Maybe encourage people to watch Champs if you're like COD.
Yeah,
that's the best I've got.
Schedule. Let's
I've
see.
I've actually not watched any.
I need to know when to avoid the YouTube channel of Call of Duty. August 4th to 7th. So it goes okay. On next week.
Oh, so next weekend, basically.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I guess watch that. Yeah. But no, I've not got an outro. Fuck it. You're the outro and intro king. I'm a nobody. I'm literally riding off your coattails on this.
But I'm a nobody as well, mate. Like, no one gives a fuck about me anymore. So.
Yeah, you are these days. You're a nobody.
Just two like mid-20s folks just talking into the void. But that's fine. Anyway.
Anyway, on that note.
Bomb that subscription button.
Torture the subscription.
Assassinate that like button, lads, and we'll see you on the next one.